Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friendos. This is In This League right here on the Sports Grid.
Get on the grid.
There it is. Look at that. On the grid is the Bogman, is the Welsh, and In This League. What the hell is happening? 3 hours. We got 3 hours today. Casey, Bubba coming up in hour three. Little Bogman and Bubba. You got to start sending me the description of what you guys talk about. Every time I send the description in for hour three, I just go, it's Casey. I had to go Bubba and Bogman. I don't know all the things you guys are going to talk about. What are you guys going to talk about today?
We talked about, and that's why I didn't put it on our sheet here.
You mean you're going to talk about? You mean what's this past tense there, Bogman?
Of course. Yeah. Let's keep kayfabe for all the dummies. I put Henry Ruggs on the Bubba sheet and not on this sheet. So I'm sorry. We talked about Henry Ruggs with Bubba. So okay. Did you even hear about any of that?
No. Oh, this is the, like, didn't he get like trampled by some couch or something like that and almost like lose a kidney or some stuff?
Yeah, well, not quite that much, but
didn't he fight a tiger?
Yeah.
Did he fight off Carol Baskin for a tiger? What happened?
Dude, did you see that she got Joe Exotic's thing?
Well, did you also see that the I think it was the, I don't know, sheriff or whoever, somebody important in it. I'm not labeling it as important because I can't think of what the person's name was, but somebody involved in the death of her original husband said 100% that it was a forged what is it? What's it like?
The document.
The document of, like, you know, the assets when the person dies.
Oh, well.
Yeah, the will, exactly. Right. The will was 100% forged.
Yeah,
so that happened.
A bunch of handwriting experts said that too.
Yeah, but it was confirmed as she got, she got ownership of, I guess you could say, Joe Exotic and Jeff Lowe's Tiger Place.
Farm. I forgot that Jeff Lowe had it.
Yeah, he still had it. I thought he had full control of it. That was the whole deal.
Not.
No, I guess not.
And apparently, that be Carol Baskin.
It's Carol Baskin and Henry Ruggs.
Yeah. So Henry Ruggs, we talked a little bit about that. It's just a shady story and it sounds weird. You know what I mean? So, but on the other hand, so this is kind of what we discussed, and we did this in the GroupMe rooms too. It's like, yes, why would a millionaire athlete be helping his friend move or helping himself move or whoever? Why wouldn't you just hire movers when you're an athlete? So that doesn't sound right. Plus, it's a small puncture wound in his leg. I mean, it sounds like he got stabbed. So they said it missed his femoral artery by like an inch and a half. So not good. It's just a weird
story. Is he going to play? Is he going to be able to play this year?
He's on crutches now, but he's going to be fine. Like, because it didn't hit his femoral artery, he's fine. But if it would have, that would have been some, you know, serious problems. We talked about that, and then I got Bubba's takes on like a 60-50 game season and what to do, and ask him about head-to-head and stuff like that. And then, we talked a little bit about the NBA, too. So,
well, there you go. That's coming up in hour three. Has not even happened yet, right, Boggs? It totally hasn't happened
right
yet. Those are all the things, even though
Things on the docket planned to talk about with Bubba. We'll see if we get there.
Even though everything was in past tense, like it had already happened, Bogman continuously said, we talked. It has not happened. So you're like some
Bill
future reminder.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. I didn't mean past tense. It's future tense. It's going to happen here in the near future. But welcome in. It is In This League, 3 hours radio. Did you see kind of a relatively big deal? Speaking of the Sports Grid, Sports Grid just signed some version of a deal with SB Nation Radio.
Yeah.
Scott Farrell's show, I think, Gabe's show and somebody else's. I don't think it was Mish's show. I'm not sure who, but a couple of the Sports Grid shows, not in this league. No chance we would be airing on anything like that. We don't even have a daily show anymore. But a couple of the big Sports Grid shows over on SP Nation Radio.
Yeah, good stuff there, man.
good take. All right.
well, I mean, what take?
I don't know more.
Great for them. Amazing. What am I supposed to say?
You're like the boss from Office Space. You're like,
flowers to everyone. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
I don't know. You're just like, yeah. Like Bill Belichick. Nah, it's great. Let's get back to work.
Yeah. we're moving forward.
Well, I mean, it's nice to see somebody's got something good going for them.
Yeah.
Sports Grid has
something. There's a lot of crap going around right now. So, yes, I guess I'm just, you know what it is, the Welsh? I'm just not used to celebrating good things in 2020.
No.
That's probably what it is. I'm just not used to it anymore. It's just all downhill, you know. I saw someone the other day. I mean, the memes have been good, you know. I saw someone the other day said 2020 written by Stephen King.
I saw that one today. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, and I think it was directed by Quentin Tarantino. I mean, that was the one I saw.
It would be Quentin Tarantino. I mean, I guess in July we'll be getting all feet then, right?
Yeah, oh, 100%. All I've been doing is hurting my feet in 2020, by the way. Broken a toe. I hit like an artery in my toe. I did it again. Remember, I told this wherever. I don't remember what show anymore.
And now Henry Ruggs' story sounds way more feasible.
No, 100%. Like, I hurt my toe so bad last week, and I talked about it on something I was doing. And I think it was actually a break video of a card thing, and it was so much blood. It was so brutal. And then, like, it's still bad. Like, ripped off. I mean, it literally, like, ripped off. It feels like a quarter inch of skin on the front of my pinky toe.
Let me ask you this. Why don't you just constantly wear steel-toed boots?
That's what my wife said. She's like, we might have to just wear shoes at all times. So I was 3 days in, and then I was almost good, and then I just banged it on a chair out in the back. Blood everywhere. And my poor kids were there, and I was like, everyone go inside. And it's just, it was horrific. And it was, I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, might be an artery in there. I'm like, I'm going to die. And she's like, you're not going to die.
Yeah. You're not going to die. Yeah.
I've gotten I've always been like this to some degree, but during like all of this craziness, I am more like hypochondriac than ever before about things. Like I had like this, I wasn't shaving and I had like a little version of a beard. I had this like pimple on like the side of just like my chin. And it was feeling weird where I was like, this is a tumor. Mike, I'm growing a tumor on the side of my head. I'm like, this is a tumor. I'm like, this doesn't feel like a pimple. It's
a
too wide.
Tumor. They're going to have to remove my jaw.
Yeah.
I might as well quit everything.
And then my wife, you know, she hates facial hair. So I had to shave. And then she was like, what is that? And I'm like, what? And she's like, oh, it's just a pimple. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was a tumor. And she's like, it's not a tumor. And I'm like, it's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah. It's not a tumor. That's my wife talk. She goes, no.
Oh, and yeah. I had no idea.
She's like, no, Welsh, no. Tumor. And I thought I had a tumor, and then I thought I was going to die from an artery busted in my pinky toe. So,
but never COVID. You never thought you were going to die of COVID. Or
I did think I had it last night, actually.
Overarching every
no, I did, th- I did think I had COVID last night because I had this bad headache and really bad stomach pain. I was like, oh, this is not going on. Yeah, and then I sat on the toilet and I felt better after. So it wasn't COVID. It was
pooping. You sat on the toilet and you felt better.
Yeah.
Does that mean you went to Culver's for lunch?
I did not. It just happened. It randomly popped up. We did have some Mexican food, but it was homemade Mexican food for dinner. So had logic been sitting in, I would have realized, oh, this is probably the Mexican food, not COVID-19. Because then I got away from my kids and I started feeling guilty too. Because I was like, oh my God, I've like hugged my kids today. And now that I have it, and I'm like, I have it now. And I'm laying in bed and then just, you know, ripping loud fart. And I was like, oh, I feel better. I'm like, okay. Maybe I don't have the coronavirus.
Oh my God. You're the diagnosis person in the world.
Yeah. I'm not as bad as I make it out to be, but I'm definitely worse than I should
it's
be.
It's just those little thoughts that run through your head. I get what you're saying. I definitely, a couple times, have thought that I've had COVID. You know,
yeah.
I've just felt crappy or sluggish for a day, and I'm like, God, I think I might have gotten it. I mean, it couldn't have been the fact that I got 3 hours of sleep last night, right?
No, 100%. No, it's not. But see, I just go back, then I think of, like, the moment, and I was like, oh, I picked up that mail and didn't wash my hands right after. And I'm like, that was the moment. That was the thing, right? That was
the
thing.
There are some places that are acting like it just doesn't exist anymore. Texas, like, nah, we're good.
Yeah. they're going to let through my lip basket.
Let's start filling up comedy clubs and stadiums. And
yeah, they're like, hey, we get baseball back. You all can go and watch it. Yeah. That's how they do in Texas, by the way. It's how the government talks. Let's go yeehaw. Did I lose you? Am I losing you
the
today?
The government talks in yeehaws?
Yeah, they talk in yeehaws.
Yeah, you lost me for a second.
Oh, okay. Let's go yeehaw.
I mean, I'm from Texas, and it's not like, hey, yeah, you all just go in and give everybody else COVID. That's how we're going to solve this problem.
No tax, you know? No COVID. No state tax and no COVID-19. That's how we run.
It is not like that. So I'm just surprised. I mean, Arizona's like, yeah, we're open for everything but stadiums and theaters and things like that. And then they're like, well, you know that you spiked the last couple weeks. And our governor's
like,
I
don't worry about that.
Well, we're doing more testing. Yeah, you're doing more testing because more people are coming in with the symptoms.
Yeah, they're also like, don't worry about that testing. We gotta board up our companies. That's the most important thing. We gotta make sure stuff is boarded up right now, so nothing gets destroyed. You know, it's funny though that they say everything's open. I went to a Best Buy last week looking for headphones, and I walked up, and you couldn't go in. And I was like, oh. Huh. And they're just like, yeah, we're just taking appointments outside. No one can go inside. But there were like a million employees, and I was like, this is weird.
Appointments at the Best Buy, dude.
I know. Like, why would I? I mean, I'm not, 75 years old. I don't need an appointment at Best Buy about anything.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've heard of Amazon. I'll just buy it there.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially now in Arizona when we are going through a heat wave right now, but it's 106, 107 every single day. Yeah, just stand outside. You'll be good. We'll get to you when we can.
Yeah.
No, you won't. I'll go buy it at Amazon.
I'll pass.
Yeah, maybe it'll be 10 bucks more and take 2 days, but I'm not going to stand out here in 107 waiting for stuff from the Best Buy.
No, definitely not. Over at In This League, that is our Patreon, which you can find lots of cool stuff, lots of fun stuff, the live streams when they're not getting canceled because Bogman has copyright claims. We do have the secret shows, which we've got to have a brand new one coming up here soon. We've got lists. We've got video feeds. And we've also got the podcast, the fantasy baseball podcast. We did 2 a week. We had a great episode with Derek Van Riper and Steve Gardner from USA Today. A really good one. And it's in video form, and it's available only for our Patreon members. And the fantasy football podcast is officially back into an every week thing. We had an episode a couple weeks ago, which was a mock draft, which is also in video form on our Patreon. But on the podcast form, we just dropped a brand new episode on Friday, the 2020 Burning Questions. Actually, a really good informative episode. It's not video. It's fun stuff. But it did have me thinking about a slight little topic we talked about. And we might have to retire this song, Bogman, because, when this guy gets drafted, I go, Drew Brees makes me feel fine. I'm going to have to change it to Drew Brees doesn't make me feel fine. Hating all the people in the line.
I tell you what, I'm so glad that we have to get rid of that song.
Yeah, you know what? Dude, it's the best thing that's happened to you in 2020. I justifiably can never sing. That was it. That was the last time I'm going to sing that song because I don't know what Drew Brees was thinking. I don't know what was getting into him, but Drew Brees set off a complete firestorm of stuff with, in the midst of a lot of the protests, the Black Lives Matter protests, and a lot of change kind of being done around the country, that Drew Brees was interviewed. Everyone knows at this point, so we're not going to go heavy into it, but Drew Brees was asked about...
Right.
I don't remember what the exact question was in this video, but
it was the Colin Kaepernick and kneeling.
Oh, was it the Kaepernick thing? Yeah.
Yeah. It was now a retrospect because he talked about how he didn't like it before. And he said, well, I'm never going to agree with that.
Yeah. And I'll never agree with anybody that disrespect. He turned it back into the flag. And
yeah.
It was a bad look. It was a really bad look. And the firestorm it set off is pretty astonishing. I don't know if you look, Martellus Bennett has absolutely laid in heavy on Drew Brees. A lot of people coming out, which I just didn't know about. Maybe my head was in the sand. But a lot of players were like, oh, you just think this is the Drew Brees now? Like, there's a lot of people that were very...
Well, there's plenty of pictures of him with Trump. I mean, it's happened.
See,
a bunch of
times. I just don't pay attention to any of that stuff with athletes. Like, none of that registers with me, so I didn't think about any of that. And then even his own teammates, Alvin Kamara had a really powerful message about what it's like to be black. Michael Thomas, who's been very, very outspoken, he was in shock. And then,
Michael Thomas's first thing was he tweeted, he don't know no better. And then people were calling Michael Thomas and Uncle Tom and all this kind of stuff. And he had to go back on defending Drew Brees too. So it was crazy for about a day. But then I think Drew Brees met with a lot of the black players on the Saints. Alvin Kamara talked to him. Michael Thomas talked to him. Malcolm Jenkins, who was outspoken immediately after, talked to him. And he came out with the apology. I mean, I know a lot of people are not buying that, obviously. It's the time that people need to, get new information and change their mind. And I think I hope that's what he did here, but I understand people not.
You hope, but he did the thing that was the part of the major problem. It was like, hey, there's this one thing happening, and then he turned it back around to it has nothing to do with the flag. You turned it back into the take that is not the point of what's going on, and it rubbed people the wrong way. But I guess Michael Thomas and him had a conversation. An apology was accepted about the disrespecting the U.S. flag comment. Michael Thomas accepted it and kind of said to move on. But, something I had I joked around about in the podcast, the football podcast, that still kind of holds tight. You just got to wonder, just a tiny bit, is there enough time away for this to blow over for some people? Because I'm not 100% sure. A lot of retired players have been very outspoken. Booger has been out just railing into this stuff. But nobody has been more outspoken, at least that I've seen on Twitter, and I don't pay too much attention to it, than Martellus Bennett. Going in culturally, obviously, with what black athletes and coaches and stuff have to deal with, but on the Drew Brees situation, really, really intense. I just wonder, I wonder if Drew Brees is going to be able to have a full-on season. Is there going to be a situation? I know I'm making too much about it probably, but are offensive linemen going to step away? Are people going to rally up even further against him? He offered a second apology, by the way. Drew Brees did with a video. He actually said on Instagram, step by step, you will see my heart for exactly what it is and the way we are and the way everyone around me sees it. Saying, I'm sorry it has taken this long to act and participate in a meaningful way, but I am your ally in this fight. So it's a second apology. Is this enough? Is this going to be? Did he escape this? Drew Brees is about to get canceled, and rightfully so on having. You want to talk about Madden awareness? His Madden awareness was down at around a 20 on Wednesday or whenever the hell he did this. But is it enough?
Yeah, I hope it's enough. I mean, the dude. I feel like he has a good heart. He gave $5 million to fight COVID, right? So, he is an activist in most things, but for whatever reason, he can't get over this flag take. So, hopefully he's going to do the right thing moving forward, but he has to display it.
Yeah, well, there was one player that said he wanted to be more like Drew Brees, and it looked a little too Drew Brees-ish than anybody had hoped. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Plus, NFL might be a little bit of turmoil. They've been doing so good relative to how baseball's going, but there's a 2021 thing that is looming for them to play this year. So don't go anywhere. More on this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Welch
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wiseass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Hello, friendos. It is In This League. We're back. You can find us over at InThisLeague.com. Join up with our Patreon, where I promise our focus is on fun. Our promise over there is fun. Social distancing streams, the comedy secret shows, that is all the craziness in our world. It's usually not sports related. It's about all the other patheticon crazy stuff that we'd like to talk about. We have GroupMe rooms. We let the GroupMe guys get into mock drafts with us. There is a host of stuff that you get for very little pricing. You know, $5 get you the secret shows and list, $10 get you in GroupMe rooms, watch the videos and all the other stuff. And you are directly supporting In This League. So if you want to do that, come and check us out, InThisLeague.com. We would appreciate that. Jake Fromm. So Jake Fromm, here's the most surprising thing before we talk about what he did. I just want to point this out. The most surprising thing about Jake Fromm right now is that he has a job, I would say. That Jake Fromm is still employed right now is pretty interesting. There has been this upheaval, of course, of athletes that are they've smartened up a little bit. They haven't smart enough not to do it, but they're smart enough to go back to when they were 12 and 13 and delete bad things they said in the past. Because a lot of athletes said some really, really stupid stuff. Racist, just idiotic, whatever it is. And
just dumb young people, idiot opinions.
Yeah, but also like dumb crap people. Like we can chalk some of it up to just young idiots, but there's also like, you know, crap world viewpoints that probably need to be addressed too than just chalking it off as like, oh, it's just a 12-year-old. And it's like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
When I was a 12-year-old,
he was only 24.
I just want to tell you, when I was a 12-year-old, there's a lot of stuff I didn't say on the internet and I didn't go and put out in publicly because I had common sense and also just didn't think horrible things like that. So we give a proverbial pass, I suppose, to lots of athletes. And, you know, they kind of go through the thing for a bit. It's like, oh, someone just found this thing this dude says, and then he has to do an apology and, hey, let me make it up to you. And then we have the conversation about how they're a 12-year-old and we move forward. And, you know, maybe the guy pays for it. Maybe he doesn't, you know, whatever it is.
Josh Hader.
Jake Fromm. Yeah, Josh Hader, exactly. Jake Fromm, it looks a lot worse because Jake Fromm is taking heat from a message that was sent last year, just last year, as he was throwing passes for the Georgia Bulldogs. And it is every bit of it is horrific. It looks even worse than it possibly could. And in the landscape of everything. And also, didn't Jake Fromm say just before this, too, that he wanted to be more like Drew Brees? Wasn't that something I saw?
Yeah, well, there was a clip of him, you know, in the pre-draft process saying, I got to mirror my game after Drew Brees as much as I possibly can.
Well,
and
some people's eyes, he might have been. Some people's eyes. In this text from March of 2009, he wrote that
2019.
I'm sorry, 2019. Yeah, 2009, he would have been like, you know, 11.
Yeah.
He wrote, guns are good after discussing suppressors. He added, quote, just make them very expensive so only elite white people can get them.
Ha ha. Yeah. And then whoever this is, I honestly don't know who he's texting with. I thought it was his sister's friend, but it just says, bro, what? Whoa, do you think you're an elite white person? I'm like, whoa, ha ha. And then the next one he says, he just, you know, sends back some emojis and says, I'm not, I'm just saying.
Yeah. And, oh boy. I'll tell you what, you want the autograph signature of scumbags. It ends with, I'm just saying. I want to tell you that right now. Tattoo that. If you want the calling card of a POS in any capacity, they will end their statement with, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Boom. Thank you, Jake Fromm. He, of course, then had
I feel like I say that a lot, and I feel like you're attacking.
No, I don't. You haven't. You don't. You go, this is your calling card. Things of that nature.
Yeah, well, things of that nature I also got from Mike Tomlin. You know, just listening to too many Tomlin press conference. Obviously, things of that nature.
Things of your nature. That's fears. A transition for you. Things of that nature is kind of your ending transition. Instead of like exclamation mark or period, usually scumbags say, I'm just saying.
And I'm just saying. You know what else sucks? It is what it is.
Yeah. Oh,
let's
I
get all
that.
Of them on the table.
Yeah. Well, that might be like, that's not scumbag. That's
you know what's worse
A-holes.
Than all of them, though? Elite white people.
Elite white people. That. We agree on that.
God.
So then he wrote, though, Fromm did, he's 100% against racism. In a statement, he said, I am extremely sorry that I chose to use the words elite white people in a text message conversation. Although I never meant to imply that I am an elite white person, as stated later in the conversation, there's no excuse for the word choice and sentiment. While it was poor, my heart is not. More than ever is the time for support and togetherness, and I stand against racism 100%. I promise to commit myself to being part of the solution. You know, whatever his PR person wrote, whatever else the rest of it was. So it's ridiculous.
I mean, he's not going to make the Bills now, right?
No.
I thought, honestly, yesterday I thought that they had released him. But I highly doubt he's going to make the Bills.
No, they got Davis Webb is the fourth quarterback technically. They got Matt Barkley in front of him. What did they invest in from? A fifth round pick?
Yeah, I think it was a fifth.
Yeah.
So.
Something could jump up from this, I suppose, into the future, though maybe it would have been an opportunity for the Saints to do it. But at some point, there's not going to be a caveat to where a person was drafted or how much money they make for if they're worth holding around for their horribleness, if you guys get what I'm saying. A lot of people, you know, the first rounder who makes $5 million or the unrestricted free agent who makes $200 a day or something like that, you would hope at some point their actions, if similar, have equal results. But, you know, that's part of maybe a lot of what we're dealing with, too, as well as changing the system, that the NFL is not like that. You know, so not that Drew Brees said elite white people. He didn't do what Jake Fromm did.
Drew Brees has a terrible take.
Well, he was dense about.
And tone deaf.
Tone deaf is a great way to say it. Completely tone deaf on it. But you would think actions, regardless of money, will someday go through it. But it's also hard to deny that, like, you know, why would you keep someone like Jake Fromm around? Like, did he make an honest mistake? This wasn't making a flag thing. This sounded like a complete a-hole. Like, ridiculous.
It's a really terrible joke to make, even if it's a joke. It's not a good one.
Well, he didn't go LOL after, you know, JK. He was just said, I'm just saying, which was the calling card to be like, yep, this is how I feel.
I do like how you break down. I think because there's just no tone to text messages when you're reading them, I think you are much better at reading tone than I am then. Because I didn't even put it together. Like, yeah, you're right. He didn't say ha 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 or anything goofy. He just said, I'm just saying, which is, you're right, the calling card of a scumbag. If you use it after, you know, saying something racist or sexist or whatever, some hate speech, and you go, I'm just saying.
It's definitive.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
It's pretty, you can't defend it. It's awful.
No, and he didn't even end it there. You know, it didn't end there. Like, it's just a definitive statement for it. So, you know, amongst all of the insanity with it, it's a bad look. It's a bad look on Jake Fromm. So I wouldn't expect anybody to forgive and forget too soon. And hopefully, like I said, these aren't necessarily the same, but the standards are there. It was a bad week for quarterbacks, bad week for NFL quarterbacks, just in general in their look, where you would hope there's a little bit more. You know, sports are trying to unite. Football was trying to unite. And it's a lot of stuff going on. And there's a huge divide in the retired player and the current player situation going on, like, right now. You want to see one. Like I said, go check out what Martellus Bennett is. He's holding no punches back, and I don't think Booger was doing the same thing. A lot of players, you know, there's a ton of stuff. Saquon Barkley had this this cool video out there with a whole bunch of players speaking, and you know, those are the positives in part of the change. One thing that the NFL is throwing at us, and this isn't something we talked about on the Burning Questions episode, which you can check out. Just search In This League Fantasy Football on any podcast platform. That was for fantasy, by the way. That was, you know, what are the burning questions for your fantasy league, which I highly suggest you go look at as a good primer. But something that came out that should be very interesting is, you know, baseball is at an impasse right now that looks really bad day by day. But the NFL and the NFLPA maybe quietly has come to terms that they need to come to an agreement on a salary cap for the 2021 season before this season is going to start. And maybe it's a lot about nothing. You know, this seems like something very easy to just come together, get this worked out, and you know, you go along and we just really don't think twice about it. But I think because of what we're seeing going on in baseball right now, it gives a little bit extra concern to the NFL. But the NFL has done such a better job literally at every single stance than the MLB with the COVID situation, everything that's going on. I almost look at this and I go, well, they'll figure this out. Because the idea is like, you know, with everything going on, if the cap goes down, everyone wants to be protected for next year. Teams want to be protected on spending and everything like that, that things could get dicey this coming year because revenue and potential, you know, people not being in. They just need to work this out. But I just assume the NFL, they're going to get it done because that's what they do. They get stuff done and they make it work, unlike baseball, who literally doesn't care about the sport or the players. I'm talking MLB and MLB owners. They just care about the revenue and the money. I'm not saying football doesn't either, but they somehow are able to mold it. And they know how powerful they are, football is. They know how powerful the money that they bring in and how their sport is, and they don't screw with the brand. Where baseball, I don't even think they understand their brand anymore.
I mean, even, you know, even with these terrible takes coming out from some of these white players and stuff, the NFL is way more progressive than Major League Baseball. You know, I mean, they have the Rooney Rule, and they are going to expand the Rooney Rule this year as well. So they've been much better at, you know, race relations than Major League Baseball. But this thing is very, very strange. And I think you're right. I think I'm like getting a little paranoid because of what's going on with baseball right now. But the salary cap going down is not good for anybody. It's raised by about $10 million every single year since 2013. And this is going to lead to veterans getting cut to stay under the cap, less free agent spending. And it's bad news for next year. Now, they are going to get a new TV deal in 2022, and they're going to be able to, you know, the salary cap is going to explode after that. Like, it's going to go way up. So if it goes down in 2021 and it goes down like $10 million, then it's going to raise like 20 or 30 the next year. So you'll have that spending the next year, and they're toying around with ideas of borrowing against the new TV deal already. You know what I mean? So and keeping the salary cap, if not lowering it for next year, because there's going to be lost profits.
It's the American thing to do, borrow off the future money.
Exactly. It's very, very American. So I'm going to borrow off that. And if it doesn't go down next year, maybe at least keep it the same, which is $198.2 million for this year. So
you know what
they
that
might just keep it the same next year, but it's definitely not going to go up.
You know what immediately this made me think of? This immediately made me think that Cam Newton needs to sign now. Like, there's more leverage going to be taken away. If, you know, could teams get their pocketbooks lock up a little bit more if revenue is going to come down and cap is going to go down next year?
That's true.
I mean, and what a horrible year to, but what a horrible year, dude, to want to try to get your contract in 2021. Guys like, what was it, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, like those guys are going to play 1 year play me deals for next season. That doesn't look good.
But I think I think Cam Newton is going to be able to sign a, you know, incentive laden deal where it's a low base salary. And then if he's good and he makes a Pro Bowl or leads a team to a playoffs or something, he'll get bonus money. And I'm not a capologist, so I don't know how that counts against the cap, or if it does, if incentives do. I think they do, but I think it's also a certain percentage. I'm not 100% sure. But I think for Cam, it's less about money. He's made his money. He's already had big contracts. He's already had, I mean, we see him on those yogurt commercials all the time. You know, like, he has a lot of really good deals going on outside of football. And Cam Newton is one of those dudes that could just transition into the NFL Network easily. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he is just so charismatic. He's going to be a great, he's going to be a great dude in the booth, or, you know, doing NFL Network, or if he decides to go the media route after football. So I think he's not worried about money. To me, I think he's just worried about getting a job and, you know, keeping it. So all these teams are kind of trying to tank for Trevor. You know, the Jaguars specifically could definitely use a quarterback, because Gardner Minshew is a backup at best in the NFL. There's some other teams too. You brought up the Broncos. I think they'd be way better off with Cam than Drew Lock this year, even though Drew Lock is better than I thought. But they just don't want to spend the money on a big name star like Cam Newton when, you know, they don't have to.
Yeah, so it's interesting that this is coming up, because I really hadn't heard anything about it, that, you know, a 2021 upheaval of, like, the a salary cap agreement need to be had for the NFL and the NFLPA, because it leaves it dicey. I 100% think it happens. So I'm really not worried about it, though. There is that little, like, ooh, baseball thing that's sitting out there. But, you know, any other free agents, I don't even know who the other free agents are out there right now. You just got to wonder, you know, the impacts of it. You know, do guys even want to do one-year deals? Could this be even more important for players, you know, even the smaller players? A couple of different things. You know, would players want to re-sign contracts? I think of George Kittle, you know, but I don't think George Kittle is up after this year. I think it might be into 2022. So there's, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of slipperiness going on with teams maybe trying to lock up players now, and maybe players potentially trying to avoid getting into next year.
And contracts are going to be low salary for 2021, huge salary for 2022 to kind of avoid this too.
Yeah, that's 100%. All right, don't go anywhere in this league. Take a little break here. When we come back, we've got more. There's some more football stuff floating out there. There's baseball stuff. There's actually a whole lot of football stuff. We've kind of almost been football-centric because of the negativity that's going on around baseball. Maybe we'll dip into a little bit. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I was about to say stay on the grid. Now I would have been wrong again. That is why we're not on SP Nation Radio. That's why we're not doing it. I'm down for more, though. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. It's on the weekend stuff. Welcome back. You can find us on Twitter at IsitTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Go check out all the podcasts, not just the radio show, though. You know, it's always a... We always have this discussion of what is this radio show's audience and how does it differ from our podcast? And I want to say it doesn't. So we say and do things on here like we're talking to this different radio audience that doesn't know our podcast. But I always like that's why you hear me say certain stuff sometimes. But
there's got to be some. There's got to be some that just listen to Sports Grid all day.
Maybe. And if that's so, just telling you, you know, make sure you're checking out all the other shows. You know, football back in action, baseball. We have been in action, even though they haven't been, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Prospect One, maybe we'll even talk a little bit later. The draft is this coming week, MLB draft, and there's a whole lot of stuff kind of surrounded that. Maybe we can do a segment on it, and I might be doing a live stream on draft night, And I had the last lead-up episode on Prospect One with James Anderson from RotoWire, where we straight up talked about the players. We just talked about all the players and the tiers of value for fantasy and first-year player drafts. It was a big comprehensive conversation about hitters and pitchers. And you know, if you want to get to know some names and how their fantasy value are relative to the upcoming draft, that's why you want to make sure you're listening to all of our podcasts. Make sure you're doing that. So Friday sucked. Every day has sucked pretty much in 2020, but Friday sucked definitely in the fantasy community a bit because The Athletic, which, you know, I got to say, I think The Athletic has done a great job in changing kind of like their perception and their platform. Late last year, you know, we've talked to people at The Athletic before too, and not just as, you know, guests and stuff, but, you know, they're changing their platform to just these articles, to bringing on way more fantasy and doing like fantasy podcasts. They really upgraded their platform. And even when, you know, COVID went down, they started to actually take some of those Only Athletic podcasts like Rates and Barrels, DVR, who was just on with us on the baseball podcast with Eno. You know, they got brought out to the public. So The Athletic has been doing a lot of really good stuff. And on Friday, they've actually had a rough week if you think about the totality of some stuff that's gone on. But on Friday, The Athletic laid off 46 staffers, which, what did you say? Was that 8% of their workforce?
I think they said 8%, yeah.
And we have a lot of friends that are over there. Like, some are, you know, right, casual friends, but then they're, you know, we just, like I said, Derek Van Riper, we just had Derek on the baseball podcast 3 days ago. And, you know, we have got some people at The Athletic that are very big supporters of In This League and have tried to do nice things for us. So, you know, I think kindly to a lot of the stuff that they do, but 46 people fired. And I think you and I both immediately went into crowd control of like, oh, yeah. God, are any of our friends fired?
Still there?
Yeah. And, I, you know, there's one person I hit up. I was like, are you good? And he said, yeah, I'm good. But his immediate response wasn't even about him. He was just like, but this sucks. This brutally, brutally sucks. But I haven't even seen the whole name of all of them, but 48% of the athletic workforce. That's a pretty damning statement to losing sports and what it has done to sports journalism, media, podcasting, fantasy, all of that stuff. I don't even know what part of the fantasy community was hit from this, but brutal.
It's not just that either. I mean, that's 8% of their entire staff, right? 46 writers. So, you know, they have a ton of staff, but also most other people, I think, maybe not most, but a lot of other people took pay cuts, had to take pay cuts to not get, you know, released here. So you know, tough day all around, but yeah, that's what COVID is doing, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I mean, you know, to cut you off. I didn't even see the other parts of you're right, because Sarah Fisher, who writes for Axios, I think it is.
Axios, yeah.
8% of the staff, they implemented staff-wide pay cuts. 10% were most of the pay cuts, which is pretty brutal. Their CEO, Alex Mather, says their new sub growth was down 20 to 30%, and
that's not surprising though. No sports are happening.
Yeah, I mean that hadn't. Yeah, I agree. And but also this one had to have been a brutal one too. And this is where, you know, the people in our community get more impacted. Their podcast ad revenue was severely impacted, and they didn't give a number of what has happened with that. And it was quoted as, "This is a dark day for the company." And this was one of those things that was trending. You know what I mean?
And, well, listen to this. Yeah. I didn't even know this. The Athletic joins The Atlantic, The Hollywood Reporter, Fortune, Billboard, The Economist Group, Group 9 Media, BuzzFeed News, Vox Media, Bustle Digital Group, Cheddar, Maven Media, Geo Media, Protocol, and others who have resorted to layoffs and furloughs in the last month. And that's not sports. That's just all media. You know,
yeah.
Especially sports media is down, but I didn't know it was all media too.
Yeah, and I'm looking
everything but Netflix, right? I mean,
I guess, you know. Yeah, and Zoom. I'm looking here at some of the names, and you know, I feel bad because I don't know a lot of these people, and I'm saying it to
sound
heartless.
Well, a lot of them are
anything.
Like team specific writers, which is I have a subscription to The Athletic, and Kalen Jones, who writes about the Longhorns, one of my favorite guys, I know he got released today.
Yeah, and I see two Arizona-based people. Gina Menzel, she says she was one of today's laid off, and she covered, she was with The Athletic Arizona, and I think a Suns beat writer. And then also, this is one we do know, not personally, but we just know from here personally, Scott Bordeaux, who used to, I want to say it was for the Arizona Republic, reported on the Arizona Cardinals. He covered the Cardinals for The Athletic, and he said he was informed that he was one of the 46. So it does look like – I see some other people. Like I said, I just don't, unfortunately, know a whole lot. John Glennon, he was a beat reporter for the Titans. That's interesting that a football beat reporter was let go. None of the big names, it doesn't look like, you know, as far as I'm saying, like the Jason
like
Stark,
Rosenthal,
Ken Rosenthal, yeah. Eno, or anything like that. Let's see, Laker Film Room. He said he was let go, and a lot of these people doing their own stuff. So it just a pretty crazy day in sports on Friday for The Athletic to take that type of a hit. I did just see, actually, I don't want to mention it, but I just was informed of someone that is a friend of ours that was let go, and that's unfortunate as just get into my DMs. But these are smart people. Hopefully they're going to pick up. But it's sad, you know, and I just want to point out, to go back to this conversation we had, I really actually really, really suggest you go back and listen to the Chris, the Derek Van Riper and Steve Gardner the episode that we did on the baseball podcast, which is also video, because one of the things in it we talked about, we actually didn't talk about it from the Athletic side with what Derek was dealing with over there. We talked about, and Steve talked about it from the USA Today side, how, you know, they had to kind of transform what these sports guys had to transform into taking on kind of completely different roles. And we know it's been, you know, hit. Everybody's been hit differently. But Steve kind of went into some detail, which is very interesting, about how he has adjusted and USA Today adjusted for sports being taken away from them.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it is, well, you have a journalism degree, so we're going to have you go do some different stuff now. And you just have to show your versatility to a lot of these companies, which is, you know, it's a good thing to have in your back pocket when you have it. But I know a lot of these guys are used to writing stuff about sports and not having, you know, divisive opinions or, you know, real news stories, you know, things that are going to come up on the news that aren't just sports. So difficult time for everyone. I mean, we felt it. You know, we had our campaign of, let's get us over 500 this year. And as soon as we got there, COVID hit and, you know, we're back down on our Patreon again.
Oh, we hit an all-time high. It was amazing. It was like, holy crap, more support than ever. And it was like, this is awesome. Thanks so much. And it was literally like days after, see ya. And we took a massive hit on our Patreon, which, you know, people got to understand the amount of work we put in from there. We lost some gigs, you know, we lost some gigs that were part of kind of our stream of stuff. Listens have gone down, you know, for ad stuff that goes into podcasts. Listens have just gone down.
No sports are happening unless people are driving.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
It's bad for everyone in the world, not just the sports world, but the sports world is, you know, no sports for 3 months and it's starting to get real rough.
Yeah. So. And it, you know, and it leads to, you know, it does the normal thing as always. It leads to just more nonsense. A lot of people getting negative about the Athletic, and the Athletic had, you know, this is not, you know, we have some friends that like to rail on the Athletic for whatever reason. I like what they do. I support a lot of where they were going with the industry and supporting so many, you know, they created a new stream of jobs in this industry for people.
Yeah.
That was this different outlet. But this is a bad week for them with this. And then also, you know, just being transparent, there was, you know, a friend of ours in the industry who got in some tussles online, and he worked for the Athletic, and I don't even know the status anymore of any of it, but he works for the Athletic, and he got in it with another person at the Athletic who is a nice, good friend of ours and who's a very actually important person on there, and was getting it with the fantasy community. And there were people kind of riling up earlier in the week saying they were going to like cancel subscriptions because of this writer. And that's kind of also the landscape of what's going on. And that's unfortunate when, I mean, there's always the battle of like, you know, stick to sports, stay in your lane, blah, blah, blah. But it's also pretty brutal when, you know, the outworldly surrounding things affect a company and sports to this degree that, you know, baseball not coming to an agreement, you know, the nature of our world right now has made everybody have to take a step back. And, you know, really you can look at, I mean, it's kind of, I look at it a little bit like baseball, to be honest with you. Like, there's always going to be a few cuts, but, you know, baseball not coming to an agreement and leaving so much uncertainty has left sports companies with so much uncertainty that how could companies feasibly stand by and keep paying employees left and right when literally to this day, early June, we still don't know if there will be a baseball season. The soonest sport we'll have is basketball, July 31st. So you can't blame companies for having to make some tough decisions when, unfortunately, this is like another black eye to me on baseball's decision making has come down and in my eyes has hit the Athletic, even though there were other sports people that were knocked.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, canceling the baseball season doesn't only affect people involved directly with baseball. I mean, and it's plenty of jobs, not just, you know, not just writers and people on TV or podcasters, but it's also vendors. You know, it's people who work the parking lot. It's security people. You know what I mean? It's there's so many jobs that are provided. And then in that area, too, you know, there's bartenders downtown. There's waitresses and waiters downtown. Plenty of restaurants and bars and all kinds of other stuff. Movie theaters in that area. I mean, theaters aren't open yet anyway. But there's just a lot of stuff downtown in that area that has been rebuilt because baseball's down there, you know, and basketball's down there. Sports are down there. And, you know, outside of no one being able to go to their restaurants for a couple months. Now in Arizona, they are. I know it's not like that everywhere else, but there are so many jobs that are affected by this business. It's not just the players, and it's apparently Alexa's opening for me. It's not just the players and everything, you know, the owners and all that stuff. It's writers.
Alexa's
all
like, what'd you say?
Yeah, Alexa's like, were you talking bad about baseball? Excuse me?
The one thing that this will open up a little bit is it reminds me of the conversation that I just had on PitchCon, which I've referenced a little bit here. Not that I even thought it was good. I don't think I did that good of a job, or, you know, we were just having this open conversation. But what it might do is spark, you know, it might spark some inspiration for some people that Joe Pizzapia and I were talking about building an independent brand. And something I've seen out of a lot of what happened with the Athletic is a lot of other people pivoting and just, I've seen multiple people say, hey, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. That's what, you know, this person's going to do, or this person might start a website. We're seeing more websites, more podcasts being opened up. You know, my key to all of that still to this day is make sure that you have a plan, that you don't take shortcuts as much as possible. Do everything that you possibly can yourself. And just do it right. Make sure that you're doing it right. Don't just throw it out and do it to do it. And I guess see people that'll be just like, yeah, I just started a website and it's blah, 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 .net. And it's just like, put some effort into it and some time. But you can do it independently. But it's also at the, you know, it's also a little bit at the hands of people out there supporting, you know, the Athletic was almost its own version of, it was like the little big corporation, the little big independent corporation, because they had a wild idea, as people weren't paying for subscription writing anymore, to start this business while paying all their employees and to have a subscription-based product to then expand into podcasting. And, you know, there was a lot of people. I think Matthew McConaughey is part of the board or something like that, owns, you know, a company shares or whatever it is in this. But there was an independent nature of what they did, and they did it right. And there's going to be other people that are going to come out of this hopefully creating good quality products and not just like giving up in the industry.
Yeah, but I also think that as soon as we get sports and the subscriptions are coming back up for the Athletic, they'll probably hire a lot of these people back, you know.
Yeah.
If they want to come back, if they're not having success with their own personal brand, like you mentioned. And, you know, I guess, you know, when you're looking at silver linings, you get the opportunity to go out there and make your own thing, which is nice, but not at the cost of your job. So obviously rough times for everyone. But I bet you half of these people are going to be re-signed back by the Athletic before the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, if we're getting sports back, I mean, there's a lot of baseball people. There's a lot of football people. And that, you know, it's a big question mark, like you said. So you can't blame a company for taking, you know, preventative actions for them going under, obviously. But if sports are coming back, I think we see a lot of these writers get
sports betting. That. Sports betting is as big as it's ever been when there hasn't even been sports. You know, I think Colorado's book put out some crazy numbers of what they made in this last month, which was still like $25 million when there's practically nothing going on. So sports betting is as strong as ever. There's still a desire for fantasy, whether, you know, certain organizations want to potentially ruin their own sport, and it'll be back out there. But it's kind of a the black eye look, a bad week for the Athletic, a lot out of their control where you've got infighting and, you know, people, whenever people want to start the movement of, you know, just canceling subscriptions because of one person, that's brutal. And then you get this look. You get this look where 8% of the workforce was let go. So on to better conversation, though. Shout out to everybody that did lose it, and hopefully they keep picking up and they keep rocking in the industry. You can do it independent. We might not be an example of it, a perfect example, but you can do it, Frank. You can do it. All right, don't go anywhere. Hour two coming up in this league.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Contact World is a technology and media company dedicated to improving public health. And our podcast is our opportunity to dive into hot topics that are relevant to you. From contact tracing to vaccines to social and racial justice. We may not have all the answers, but you deserve to know what goes on in your neighborhood and the decisions that affect you and your family's health. I'm Justin Beck. Join me and my co-host Catherine and Deep D as we seek truth in health. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.